Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to yet another Forza Italian Football Podcast. I say yet another as if we're way into this run of games. We're only on the second of four in 10 days, but I'm Connor Clancy, and I'm joined by just one person this midweek. Kev Pogzielski is here to keep me company through the night, and not for the first time, Kev. Hello.
No, absolutely. Midweeks when Vito's not around is our little nighttime time alone.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I was thinking back to that night in Torino, though, where you could and should have gone to a bed that you had paid money for, but I had to wait until 4 a.m. or something for a train, and you generously stayed up with me in the wet, miserable cold of Piemonte nights in December, November? When was it?
Late October. Okay. Pretty sure it was last weekend in October, but those shoes that got soaked after only just purchasing them and died this weekend.
Really?
Yeah, not entirely of natural causes. The wife dragged them off me while I was drunk and passed out and tore the rest of the sole off. But yeah, they're gone. That another little token of that memory from Turin.
You realise you've just made Stace sound like a pet dog.
Well, sorry, listeners, but it's just that I need help taking my clothes off when I've had one too many Peroni.
Look, I've heard some horrible stories about you when you've had one or a few too many drinks, and I don't think the listeners will want to hear them, particularly when you consider that a lot of people listen to this on their morning commute, you know, when the stomach isn't really ready to face the day.
Whole other podcast.
Yes, and not one that I ever want to be involved in. But Kev, look, we are here to talk about a full round of Serie A fixtures. Again, there were 10 games played across Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday night. And seven of them ended all square. Quite a strange little statistic to start the week's podcast off. But yeah, only three games ended with a winner from 10. Is that poor or is it a reflection on things have just started to take their toll on these players already?
Oh yeah, definitely. I'd side with the things are starting to take their toll on the players. The coaches maybe and the players know that they've got all these games coming up, so it's you're trying to get favourable result from all four fixtures rather than this whole one game at a time. I know they do kind of have to approach it at one game at a time, but they will be looking at conserving their energy towards the sort of latter part of games, taking a point where they probably wouldn't have thought they were going to get one. And there's a bit of that this week where we've got a lot of sides at the top that have dropped points. You know, a couple have played against each other, but they've dropped points where you probably wouldn't expect them to. So if you've managed to get maximum points, you've really done quite well.
Yeah, well, that's it, right? We're looking at the league table, or the results, rather, and the only teams who won were Roma, Inter, and Sampdoria. And a win for Samp doesn't mean all that much, given they're kind of floating comfortably in mid-table. But that win for Inter in particular really closes the gap up at the top, because Milan obviously slipped again. And then Roma have also climbed back into the top four. So they are the big winners from this midweek round.
Yeah, I think... taking Inter and Roma, Inter because of the opposition. Napoli had been playing really well. They were on a bit of a good run themselves. And then when you flip over to Roma, and it was a bit weird. Kind of, you know, we all want to watch football. You know, that's why we're doing this, as we're football fans. And you think, oh, you know, you got midweek, 3 days of games, and actually it's a lot more difficult to watch all those games because it's not like a weekend. You can't space them out like you can space them out. So you kind of tag one on the end, which is Thursday night, and that makes Roma's task almost even more difficult once they know that the others have lost or lost points, because they're playing a team that are fighting for their lives at the bottom of the table. They know they can take advantage if they get a positive result, and it adds that pressure to the players. So I would probably, if I was sort of putting the results in order, I'd be hard-pressed to say who's had the more favourable result this midweek, whether it's Inter because of the opposition they're playing, Roma because they're the last of the 10 games, and they knew everybody else had dropped points.
Well, Inter are kind of on the back end of a really impressive run of form, but Roma, I think, probably needed that result a lot more than anyone else who won this week, because they play Atalanta away on Sunday evening. That's not going to be easy for their penultimate game before Christmas, so it will do them the world of good to travel up to Bergamo off the back of a pretty comfortable win.
Yeah, I hadn't spotted that. So you probably give them a little bit extra credit because they know they've got that coming as well. You know, again, it just adds to that pressure.
For sure. But I mean, we'll start at the top with going into these games. Milan dropped points again. And again, it was in a game where you really wouldn't expect them to. I was almost knocked to the ground when I saw that Mattia Destro had finally scored a goal, and then I almost fell through the ground in the hole that I had created for my first fall when I saw that he scored again. Quite typical for him to score against Milan, of course, a product of Inter's academy, formerly played for Milan and for Roma and for Bologna and for a lot of teams. But I mean, that's a huge result for Genoa, if we can start with that first, because I don't think they would have had this down as a game they were going to pick up a point from.
No, and when I watched the highlights, it seemed to be all Milan first half. So they probably even came out in the second half thinking that they weren't going to get much out of it. So to take the lead twice in the game was pretty impressive. And it just, when you look at Torino losing tonight, you look at Crotone drawing against Udinese on Tuesday, it's a point buffer. But, you know, at least they're not like joint bottom on points at the moment. And it just gives them something. And particularly because they've taken points off of Milan. I think, again, it's that confidence thing going into such a tight run of games over the course of a couple of weeks.
This is the thing, right? Because everybody drew, a draw for Genoa was not a great thing. But one of the teams who lost were Torino, who they are down there against. And then, I mean, I can't remember who else lost, but I don't think it was anyone else actually around them. So it is a bit unfortunate that everyone has picked up those points. But I think the fact that it's come against Milan and Genoa were unlucky not to get 3 points, it's kind of the same thing we said, or at least the same thing that I asked when Torino lost in the fashion they did against Juve. Will the manner in this dropping of points be more harmful than the good that the point gives them? Like, which will weigh more?
No, see, I think Genoa will. Well, if you were in that Genoa camp, I think you'd attempt to take only positives from this. I think there might be. Well, no, actually, I was going to say they might be a little disheartened that other teams didn't lose, but actually, they will probably take, you know, positives from the fact that they at least didn't fall behind others that maybe will have won. And I'm sure that lots of people in Genoa won't have wanted Samp to win, even though they're not quite in that relegation battle. And it's a bit weird. It feels almost like a win-win, because we've seen it all across Europe that the sides that have been playing in Europe and doing this midweek, weekend, midweek, they're starting to look tired. And that's kind of what I put Milan's recent performances. You know, you've got Parma last weekend, Genoa here, where they weren't quite far in looking at the coverage. And they will then just be trying to talk it up as a positive that they've come back. You know, they're showing that resolve, the same resolve they showed at Parma to come back and fight for a point. I think it's all about the optics on these things now, about keeping everybody together in the squad until they sort of take that festive break.
A lot of people have spoken about Milan, in particularly in light of Zlatan Ibrahimovic's injury, and saying that he's not really everything holding them together, and that they don't miss him when he's not there. But they've drawn their last two games against relegation-threatened teams 2-2 both times, and all four of those goals have been scored by defenders. I mean, Theo Hernandez scored twice in the comeback against Parma. Theo was on the bench, and it was another fullback, Davide Calabria, who scored the first equaliser against Genoa before the young guy, Pierre Kalulu, who only came in because of, was it Alessio Romagnoli? No, Mattia Gabbia got injured, and Kalulu came in. That's got to be a concern, particularly the manner of the goals, right? Theo got his second, was a bit of a, it was a nice goal against Parma, and then Calabria scored a great strike from the edge of the box, and then Kalulu kind of bundled one in from a set piece. I mean, am I reading too much into this?
There was a great chance for Rebic I saw in the first half where he sort of danced past a couple of men, and he really should have probably done better with the finish. But I was saying at the weekend that he looks a little bit out of his comfort zone playing centrally. Again, I think because you can move on from this game really, really swiftly at the weekend, you will just take the positives. And the positives are that we're finding goals. You know, I think if they've drawn 0-0 at Parma and 0-0 here tonight at Genoa, then there'll probably be a few more disgruntled voices with the fact that they're missing Ibrahimovic a bit too much. But yeah, just spinning the positives that they're getting goals, really. And actually that it's from other areas, because you get that issue then that the rest of the team are maybe only looking for the attackers. Say if Liao had come in and replaced Ibrahimovic, and he'd scored the goals in the last couple of games. So they're actually all contributing. And it possibly shows that those players, in the absence of Ibrahimovic, know that they've got to dig in and provide something.
Fair point. At the Stadio Giuseppe Meazza, the two highest scoring sides this season faced off. So of course it ended 1-0, and the only goal came from the penalty spot. But Inter beat Napoli 1-0, Kev. And I'm going to start with Antonio Cassano's comments this evening. What day is it? Thursday. The day after this game, where Antonio Cassano said that he watched a quarter of an hour of this game and then turned it off because it was terrible. It was embarrassing. Inter were embarrassing. Napoli played with 10 men and they could have won 4-1. He then went on to criticise the quality of Serie A, said it was probably the fifth biggest league in Europe, obviously behind the Premier League, La Liga, the Bundesliga, and Ligue 1 there as well. He also stuck the knife in a little bit further on all the top teams by saying the only teams that excite him are Atalanta and Roma.
I just pause there for a second for the death of Serie A, as announced by Antonio Cassano. I probably am not the best person to comment, because I didn't watch the game in full. There did appear very few highlights from the first half, certainly highlights from Inter's side as well, because there was a couple of great saves made by Handanovic throughout the game that looked as though there were chances. I think he's probably being a little bit too harsh, because you've got two sides here that are potentially looking at how Juventus are playing this year and thinking there is a chance for us this year. So it's going to be nervy. And again, you know, you've got both these sides have been playing in Europe, one of them pretty badly, but one that they're on the back of playing weekend, midweek, weekend, midweek, midweek. You can't keep sort of stunning performances up. You know, Napoli have had, what, 2-4 goal displays in the last 2 or 3 weeks. There comes a time when that sort of just stops for a short period. So harsh from Antonio, I think.
Yeah, harsh, but maybe not all that surprising. I did think that Inter were dreadful. I mean, they tried their very, very best to completely implode. Once they went 1-0 up, it was like that was the worst thing that they could have done, because from then they just let Napoli get at them. And this was a Napoli team with 10 players, right? And the player they were missing was Lorenzo Insigne, who got sent off. Their most important attacking threat, you could argue. I've no faith in Inter. I think they are title favourites because they're only going to be playing one game a week. And we know how Conte coaches quite well when he's only got one game a week to worry about. But I don't know. I really don't know what to say. I thought Inter were a disaster. On to that man, Lorenzo Insigne, actually, because he got sent off in the aftermath of the decision to award Inter a penalty. And it was a correct penalty award. I mean, Ospina just swiped at Matteo Darmian's leg. I don't know how you could argue against it, but Insigne did. Kev, and I'm not sure if you have heard what Insigne told the referee, I think it was Davide Massa, to do.
No, enlighten me.
Well, it was quite simple. He just told him to fuck off, and he got sent off for it, which has irked coach Gennaro Gattuso, because I'm not sure if somebody needs to take out a map with Gattuso and show him where Milan is, because he wasn't too happy after the game. He said, "You can't send off a player, especially the captain," not sure why that makes a difference, "for telling the referee to fuck off after a dubious penalty. In England and Scotland, they tell referees to F off all the time and nothing happens. Only in Italy do players get sent off for this sort of thing." I mean, Insigne knew he was in Italy when he did it, no?
Was it a straight red?
Yes.
Wow.
It did seem a bit much, to be honest. It did seem a bit excessive.
It feels a bit much for a straight red. I kind of understand. It's probably in the heat of the moment that he said about the captaincy. I think there's an element of that when there are a crowd of players or whatever disputing a decision, that the captain is usually allowed a little bit more leniency to get close to a referee and have a discussion. Whether telling someone to fuck off directly into their face is going to get you into trouble, I think Insigne should have also known that. But yeah, it did. You know, looking at the chances that they created, it didn't appear to put them at a disadvantage to Inter. I know they obviously sat a little bit back after that, but you know, he's going to get himself a little rest now, which was oddly the one thing I thought of. But well, at least he's now suspended for the next game, so he'll be fresh for the one after that.
Yeah, but the next game is the one they wanted him for. They're playing Lazio next, and then after that, they've got Torino. I mean, nobody's needed to play against Torino. They could play the kids and do all right. Lazio's he's going to be a big miss.
Well, the way Lazio are playing, maybe he won't.
True, actually. It's at the Olimpico as well, so that'll probably be a gimme. They'll just get in Kevin Lasagna or something. They'll probably do all right. I did see, it's worth noting, Ashley Young was the closest Inter player to the referee when he pulled out the red card. And Ashley Young almost mouthed, "No." Like, Ashley Young was disappointed to see Insigne get sent off for what he did. So I suppose that's probably a sign that the referee was a bit quick to draw.
I'm more impressed that Ashley Young's Italian has sort of come on that quickly, that he knew what Insigne was mouthing.
I think that's the swear words are the first things you pick up, right, in any language.
Yeah, true.
But anyway, the biggest game of the weekend was probably, well, aside from Inter, Napoli, came at the Allianz Stadium, where Atalanta and Juve played out an entertaining 1-1 draw, where both goalkeepers played very well and both sides scored absolute belters. Federico Chiesa scored the first. He then took a little dive to win a penalty later on, but we'll get to that. But I personally, and I know I've got a horse in this race, right? But I personally think Remo Freuler's goal pipped Chiesa's just because it hit the underside of the crossbar.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I was a little concerned with Vito not being here, actually, that you'd be pro Atalanta and I'd be too anti-Juve.
What, and have I said something there that makes you less concerned about that?
No, I was just surprised that actually, well, it was an entertaining game. I'm still gonna go anti kind of Juve. I just found that I thought Atalanta were much the more creative and attacking side. When? Certainly in the first half.
In the first half, okay, okay. In the first half, okay.
Certainly in the first half. I had to check the stats at half-time, and I think they had three times as many sort of attacking efforts on the Juventus goal. And then obviously I saw that Gallini got quite good marks in some of the Italian newspapers. And then maybe I just kind of switched off a little bit because I didn't recall him making a lot of saves, but he made those sort of three crucial ones, yeah. One with his face.
I think that was it, right? He made a few saves, but three of them were huge. Two on Morata and one on Cristiano Ronaldo's penalty. There were others in there as well. I think there was one on McKennie, maybe. But yeah, those three were big. But yeah. I think you're being a little bit generous on Atalanta in the first half, you know, because a lot of those shots would have come from... Ruslan Malinovsky was just pinging shots from everywhere, as he tends to, which is, I think, we might not get into this, but one of the reasons why he's not the guy to replace Papu Gomez if he leaves, because Malinovsky shoots way too often. And you can see Gasperini at times with his hands held to the side thinking, like, why are you shooting from that position? Which it can be frustrating, but he came close on a couple of occasions. But I really thought that, as much as it pains me to say it, Atalanta weren't all that great. But then as soon as Papu Gomez came on, they played an extra 30 feet up the pitch. I don't know if that was because Juve regressed out of fear or if it was just that Atalanta had that extra belief once he came on. And I don't think it's coincidental that the goal came within a couple of minutes of his arrival, because Juve swarmed around him, the ball broke free, and Freuler had a bit of space to explore.
I think it's probably an example of how watching the game on TV, it can colour your sort of view of it, you know, because they will show numerous clips of someone striking a ball at goal. So you're, you know, if you're doing something else, or you're making notes or whatever on the game, your head's lifted with those replays. So I think then you come away from the game, and I say because the Juventus attacking efforts were fewer, but, you know, arguably bigger, but there were so many more of the Atalanta. I think that's probably where I've got my view that Atalanta were, you know, on the front foot more often than Juve were.
Can we talk about Alvaro Morata?
Yes.
I quite like him, okay, but I'm convinced he's a child, because he always looks like he's on the verge of crying, and he's always complaining as if the world is against him. And he was at it again. Juve got awarded a penalty, which personally I don't think was a penalty. I think you agree with me, but it was given. And Morata managed to get himself booked for starting a fight with Barrett Gymshiti, who didn't even commit the foul on Chiesa because he was unhappy with an earlier coming together with himself and Gymshiti. But we need to talk about the miss, don't we?
Oh yeah, it was a bad pen. Well,
not the penalty. Morata's open goal miss. Right, and if you were only...
The back heel. What, right, okay. God. Because I blocked that from my mind.
I personally think that... I do think VAR would have intervened if it went in, because I do think he was a little bit offside when the ball squirmed back across to him. But the flag stayed down, so the linesman didn't see it as offside. And what on earth was he doing? Pirlo afterwards said he was annoyed with it, and you can understand him.
I assumed that some VAR decision or even refereeing decision had been given, and kind of then it sort of passed me by until I did see you put out on social media, you know, a comment about it. And I think it didn't help, I had the TV down because of other stuff going on here. And it was bizarre that the game's still going and he decides to do that and miss it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, virtually make no contact whatsoever.
Yeah, he barely touched the ball, but it's quite strange because I do a bit of work for the English website of a Spanish newspaper as well. And it was more of a story in Spain than it was in Italy, which is quite funny because Morata is kind of a mystery figure over there. You know, like, they're quite interested in what he's doing with Juve. And yeah, they picked up on that quite heavily, whereas in Italy it seemed to be quite silent, which was strange. But
I've always quite liked him. You know, when he's played for Juventus, I don't think he's got enough out of his talents elsewhere. And I wondered whether the environment that worked for him last time will work again this time. And he's been, you know, he's, I think he's probably, he's performed at the level that you expect him to perform in a Juventus side, maybe underperforming ever so slightly.
Oh, don't get me wrong, I do absolutely love him. I do really like him as a player, and I do think that he's harshly spoken of, harshly treated by a lot of people who don't necessarily watch him all that regularly. But yeah, he can also wind me up quite a bit, but I particularly with that miss, because it reminded me of when Super Mario Balotelli did something in pre-season, right? In pre-season, because he thought he was offside and people wanted him kicked off the planet that we are living on. And I mean, there wasn't a peep.
Mancini did as well, because he substituted him straight after.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But anyway, onto the game. I mean, Atalanta, given what's happening there at the moment, would have taken a point from Turin.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Yeah, definitely though. You know, but yeah, because it's away to Juventus, I've kind of lumped them in at this season at the moment with Lazio, where it's all just stuff just seems to be going. It's such a contrast to what they were last season. And of all the sides that I think don't look like they're going to pull themselves together at the moment to actually, if you like, put a Champions League qualification run together. You know, I think both of them are still potentially get European football. But yeah, you go away to Juventus where their home record is so strong and you're happy with that point. And probably when they're mapping out where they're going to pick points up this season, that wasn't one of the places that they would have had down.
Yeah, I mean, up until the whole Papu thing came out, I was quite happy with everything that Atalanta were doing, because they're never great in the first half of the season. And it is always after Christmas that they really click into gear and start picking up points. Even Gasperini said in his pre-match press conference that this game's come a bit early in the season for us. We're a quarter of the way through, you know, you can't really be making excuses like that. But I want to get your opinion on something, because you don't have any vested interest in Atalanta, nor with Papu Gomez, right? So before the game, Papu was left on the bench, and the Juve song is quite a catchy one. You know, I've been known to sing it myself, even around my apartment sometimes, just gets in your head. And as Gomez was taking a seat on the bench, the Juve anthem is playing, and you can see Gomez kind of like joking. He's quite clearly laughing and singing it to someone beside him. It might have been Muriel or Moika. I know they were all sat closely on the bench. Some people went into a meltdown about this, whereas others said, well, this is what his character is like. He jokes, he has a laugh, he's all about that. I'm inclined to agree with the latter, but I think that's because I love him. What are your thoughts on this?
I'd agree with you probably. I think there's not enough, I hate to use the term jokers, but you know, there's not enough joy at times at elite level professional football. I think I was someone that was probably chewing the ear off of people and making jokes on the pitch and whatnot, and maybe I didn't get further than I could have got. But I don't even recall this, the Juventus song because I never really sort of ventured to Juventus very often, even before they moved to the Allianz. When I went a couple of seasons ago, it struck me as something that they'd done relatively recently with this sort of desire to really make a commercial thing out of the club. And it's almost that I wasn't sure if some people even in the Juventus fan groups were sort of singing along, tongue in cheek to it. So I'm wondering whether, you know, that comes across as well. And then Papu just decides to sing to it. And yeah, people need to get a bit of a...
Yeah, I agree.
Get a bit of a hold of themselves.
I completely agree. I mean, you go to games in some stadiums and Inter is an example. Well, not anymore because Conte changed the song. But Sassuolo, another one. Even at Parma, you go and a lot of people in the press box are singing along as well, you know, because it's just, it's quite a catchy song. Fiorentina's is great. And I've been at the Frankie numerous times in both the home press section and in the away press section. And people whistle along to that when it comes on, you know, people clap to the beat as well. So I don't think it's much of a story, unfortunately. So I'm just going to read out all of the rest of the scores and we'll kind of dip in and out of what we see fit. Udinese Crotone played out a 0-0 draw, surprise, surprise. Benevento and Lazio drew 1-1. Samp beat Verona away 2-1. Spezia were 2-0 up against Bologna but drew 2-2 and almost lost in the 97th minute. Genoa Milan we've discussed. Fiorentina Sassuolo 1-1. Parma Cagliari 0-0, obviously. And then Torino beat... Nope, they didn't. Of course they didn't. Torino lost 3-1 away to Roma on Thursday evening in the final game of the round. Kev, is there anything there that particularly stands out to you that you would like to discuss a little bit?
Yeah, well, let's start where you finished, Roma-Torino, because that finished a moment ago. I don't know your view, thought it was a ridiculous red card for Singo. Not necessarily because I didn't see the first booking.
The first booking was a booking.
Okay, yeah, stupid British broadcasters were playing extra time or injury time of some Copa del Rey time. I just think that, and again, this might be me going off onto an old man rant and things, but it's almost as if, I do think it's particularly in Italian football where cards are actually delivered for these sort of things, so that there isn't an acceptance that players will make contact. You know, and it'll be an honest attempt for the ball. And I don't think the player who gets fouled, if you like, helps their sort of fellow professional footballer out by the amount of time they sort of make out of these things or do a ramp. What's the lad who plays for Sampdoria that screeches like a cow?
Gaston Ramirez.
Gaston Ramirez, that's it. I kept thinking Ramon. Ramon Rodriguez or something. And yeah, I don't know. It 14 minutes into the game, it kind of killed it, you know, because, you know, Torino are a bit down their luck. It doesn't take long before Roma go ahead. Then weirdly, Torino sort of start really, really trying to go to get the points back at about
when
sort of
it was
3-0 minute.
And they had 10 minutes
yeah.
left.
But I just think his foot is not above the player's knee. You know, if the player is standing upright, it's not above knee height. I mean, so there is, you know, feet are, and it's pointed at the ground, you know, and it's just, yeah, I don't know. So maybe don't dwell on it too much,
thing,
but I just
though,
think
in
it's
recent...
harsh.
I don't want this to be modern football is dreadful and stuff. But in the last couple of years, there does seem to have been a rise in the belief, whether spoken or not, that if there's a foul, it's got to be a yellow card. And a lot of people fall into this trap where they see a foul and it's a free kick. But they say, why isn't that a yellow card? Why isn't that a yellow card? Whereas all fouls aren't yellow cards. And it's particularly notable when a player has been booked. Every foul they make after that, people say, that's got to be a red card now. And it's not always the way.
Yeah, and sometimes it's the other way around. They've got such a needless yellow card for the first foul that the second one actually probably is a booking. Then you kind of feel so. But I think there was a ruling a couple of years ago, I think it was now, where they've taken away this almost automatic red card for those fouls that end, you know, result in a penalty. I can't remember if that's in Europe, if that's in Italy, or that's, you know. But and it almost feels like, well, I don't even know if it needs to be a rule change. It's just some common sense that players will come together. a bit sort of that inter penalty. You know, there was contact in that there, but it was a foul. It did need to be given as a penalty, but it was like there was going to be a coming together of players anyway. And I think if that happens outside the box, then maybe those players are going to pick up needless bookings when it's kind of okay, just give the foul. It's disappointing because of what the impact that it has on the game as well.
Kev, the last thing we're going to talk about before we let our listeners go and enjoy their Fridays or their weekends or whatever it is, whenever it is they're listening to this, is Spezia Bologna, because Spezia have been very good this season. They hadn't scored at home until Nzola put them 1-0 up, and then he went and got a second, and it looked like they were on to their first home, in inverted commas, because they're playing 300 kilometres away. This game was actually played closer to Bologna than Spezia. I'm like twice as close to Bologna as Spezia, but they blew it. I mean, we need to mention Muzabaro's equaliser, because the ball dropped to him 40 yards out and he just lobbed Ivan Provedel, who was excellently high against Atalanta. His high starting position is what I'm referring to, Kev. Don't give me those eyes. Is what saved Spezia against Atalanta. But it cost them there. And then Bologna were awarded a penalty. So the equaliser came in the 92nd minute. They got a penalty then. And Barrow stepped up in the 97th minute. And Provedel saved it. And then the subsequent rebound. This was great.
Oh, yeah. It was a great couple of minutes of action, really. You've got to sort of tip your hat to Barrow for that late in the game, 2-1 down. His first 40 yards from goal isn't run, you know, because he's not a defender, you know, centre half that's probably only got one thing in his mind, which is just hit the ball.
Yeah.
He could take players on, but instead he just pings a lovely shot. And maybe that's probably because, you know, these footballers are professionals for a reason. They're intelligent. He knows the goalkeeper keeps a high line for Spezia. And takes his chance and is really well rewarded. And then probably if you're a neutral, you're glad that the penalty gets saved because of how many times the high line does sort of allow them to pick up the points that they have this season and entertain us this year in Serie A. And what looked like a fair result, a 2-2 draw.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, problems for both that they, Bologna in particular, to concede two more goals. I mean, they are a bit of a disaster. We've spoken about them a little bit, but Spezia are better than they look. I promise everybody, if you've not watched Spezia yet this season, I would really, really, really recommend it. I'm trying to get my fixtures list up to see who Spezia play next. And I know there's a lot of football being played over the next week, but I mean, if you do have the opportunity to tune in and watch them, you really, really should. They've got Inter away next, so a lot of people will probably be watching that. And then after that, before Christmas, they play Genoa in what is a Ligurian derby that won't be played in Liguria, strangely. But I think they should be back in Liguria after Christmas. Let's hope so anyway, and I'll try and get out there and see what it's all about. Kev, we've reached the end.
I know. Do I get to win the game this week?
No, that's not how it works. It was all right, just the two of us, wasn't it?
It's always a pleasure.
We've went on for 35 minutes, just the two of us, to be fair. We've done quite well. I mean, you've earned your name Rabbit on social media there with that. But Kev, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Listeners, it's Thursday evening when we're recording this. We will be back on Sunday evening for a Monday morning podcast for you all. So we'll speak to you again sooner than we'd like. Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.